welcome to a very special episode of Creating Powerful Impact. I'm your host, Shay Wheat, founder of Grace and Ease Productions, where we support entrepreneurs just like you with event-based strategies and marketing and sales skills to allow you to build your authority, your credibility, and your visibility in your industry. Today's guest, if you can't tell, is sitting right next to me with We're in a mastermind group together, and we're like, oh my gosh, we're actually recording a podcast in like 2 days. And we said, why don't we actually do it while we're here? So I'm super, super excited to introduce to you my guest, Rudy Rodriguez, who is actually I didn't know this, a former naval officer and aviator, which is really kind of cool. Who definitely brings a unique and consultative coaching approach to help clients increase their sales. And who doesn't need more sales? I think everybody. He's also the host of the Live Event Profits podcast, which I recommend all of you go and listen to. He has, get this, helped generate for his clients over $50 million in sales for the coaching, education, and mastermind offerings since 2015. Now, Rudy's approach is very systematic and focused on tangible results, is why I love you so very much. And really making his coaching light, fun, and just delivering just the outcomes that his clients really desire. So please help me welcome to the Creating Powerful Impact stage, my friend Rudy. How are you?
Thank you, Shay. That's a kind introduction. I appreciate the opportunity, and so cool to actually be here physically with you. We're not an avatar. I'm not an AI. I'm real. I say that because we're in a mastermind. They just did this big demonstration on how you can create a whole lookalike avatar, and it can do all your podcasts for you. You don't even have to show up. Like
So
this.
we could be virtual avatars right now doing this podcast.
Well, we could be.
We could do that, or we could totally just put into ChatGPT our entire script and not have to physically be here, and our mouths would move and everything else.
In like multiple languages.
It's insane what is happening right now. If you guys aren't checking into all the ways that AI is showing up to just really rock out your business, it's totally worth it. Like, I've learned tons over the past 2 days. I don't know
Yeah, same here. Yeah,
about you.
this may be the last live podcast
Well, I mean, I want to chat with you because you are a master of sales and really supporting people in growing their sales teams, having a sales team if they don't have one currently, and really supporting them in the event space,
ever do. That's right.
which is really super important because I know a lot of my clients go, maybe I have one or two salespeople, or they're part-time, and I want to do an event, but I don't have anybody that can support me and actually knows the systems and the funnels and the cadence that needs to happen for a live event or a virtual live event. So, what would you like to share kind of around those lines?
Yeah,
It's a lot.
it's a lot. It's a lot. Your audience is pretty similar to my audience. When you guys come over to my podcast, you guys will see the link here in the show notes. Have a listen as well. What I know about my audience is that they have very normal problems when it comes to events. One, it's promoting an event, right? Getting people to get to the event. So much effort that goes into that. Obviously, there's a lot of logistical efforts about finding venues, all those things that I know Shay is a world-class expert in. Definitely talk to her and use her for those services. And once you get people to an event, you're now wanting to make sure that, well, one, they buy the ticket, two, they show up. Those are two different things. And we actually were looking at some stats just today on that, and like a huge opportunity, right?
Yeah, a huge opportunity for one of your clients that were like, "Ooh, we need to actually address this right here. How can we support and making it so we actually have the people show up that you worked so incredibly hard to buy the ticket? Now they need to show up and then support them during the event itself."
That's right. So that's one of the common problems, which I'll talk about solution here in a moment. Also, once you have them at the event, then it's, how do I keep them engaged? How do I make sure they're in the room, not in the hallway or not on their phones, but in the room doing the work so that they can change their lives, right? And then ultimately, how do you enroll them into continuing their journey with you, whether it's through a coaching program, a mastermind program, or at least the next event? Otherwise, it's a really fun weekend, but Like life happens.
Yeah, even on the virtual side, right? So if you're supporting a virtual event, it's like, how do you keep them engaged when the dog's running in and when the kids are wanting stuff? And they're showing up for a reason. There's a pain that they're in, and we need to support them in moving them through to what that next step is.
That's right. That's right. So I want to reference a couple studies here because I think it sets some really helpful context. There's a study that was done by Harvard Business School. I'm a big believer in reading peer-reviewed studies on sales. And the study was actually around the online response time of a lead. And I'm going to connect the dots as to why that matters to you as an event leader. But essentially, they did two studies. One study was looking at, on average, across a cross-section of Fortune 500 companies, how quickly they respond to inquiries, right? Expressions of interest. And on average, I think the average company was somewhere in the ballpark of like between 3 to like more than 3 days for sure on average. There was a small percentage of companies that responded within 3 days. The vast majority is like 3 days or never, right? To a response. What does that mean? Well, they did another study. And the other study was okay, based on how quickly the response time happens, what is the likelihood that they're going to move forward or convert or at least have a conversation? And the short of it is the study found that waiting just 24 hours, reduced the probability of conversion by 7 times. Yeah. And waiting 72 hours or more actually decreased it by 60 times or 6,000%.
Yikes.
Yeah. So how does that apply to events? Right. Again, coming back to all the efforts, right? It's online leads, but it shows human intent. I call this the law of diminishing intent, right? You as an event leader, you put in so much effort. You hired a great expert like Shay. You promoted, you got the marketing, you even got people to show up, right? And maybe you even worked with a speaking coach, or maybe you are a world-class speaker and you have no problem enrolling people from the front of the room. In fact, you did such a great job that you ask people to go to the back of the room and everyone gets up and goes to the back of the room. Congratulations. But guess what? You have a big problem, right? You have a very big problem because now you have a line. And guess what? People who are successful, they see the line, they're like, no, thank you. I will come back. I will come
will
back.
come back. Oh my God, it's so true.
I will come back and I'll do it later. And what basically happens is they don't. Right. Or maybe they decide to stay in the line. Maybe people are patient. They decide to stay in the line and they end up speaking to a volunteer, a customer service rep, or maybe you do have some trained assassins in the back. But here's the thing. Most of the time, whatever that experience is, it's very inconsistent. And most of the times, whoever's speaking to the person is more of an order taker and not a sales professional and does not know how to handle objections or reframe questions or concerns or set up appointments or much of that stuff. They're order takers, which is great. You need people to take orders. However, the vast majority of people, when you are inviting someone to make a decision that's going to potentially drastically change your life, and it's going to be a significant investment of time and money, oftentimes $10,000, $25,000 or more in a year of their life. Like, people have questions. People have objections. By the way, objections are a good thing.
You want them.
We want them.
You want
Actually,
them.
just in a thing today, they're like, you want to have at least 7 or 8 objections. That means they're serious. And you got to have people that are trained on how to handle that. Right. So, the problem is that most event leaders do either don't have the proper staffing in the back of the room or don't have a proper logistical plan to be able to speak to the people who are interested, to be able to answer the questions, handle their objections, and effectively move them into a committed action before their intent diminishes.
Yeah, because you don't want that 60%, right? Oh, I'll come back and I'll get in the line later, and then the later happens to like never, and now after the event, it's like you've lost them.
Exactly. You lose them. And let's just say, okay, let's just say day one or day two, we made our typical frame, right? 3 days, day two before lunch around lunchtime, you make your offer. And let's just say we had the scenario and we're like, oh shucks, something's, even though everybody went to the back of the room, for whatever reason, we didn't get the sales we were expecting. It's okay, we have tomorrow. Right? Let's regroup. Very typical, right? Let's go in the green room. Let's see what we got to do differently. Let's change our approach. And then the next day, you go and you do it again. And maybe there are some sales, but the vast majority of people, if you don't have the proper support in the back of the room, you're basically left with a list of people who are interested. Right, who maybe put their name in the hat or something along that, or maybe you're really good and they at least paid a deposit before they left the event. But guess what? You're left with them leaving the event. Now you're trying to talk to them, days after the event. And you as an event host, God, you're
You're gonna be
gassed.
exhausted. We call it drool on the couch day, the day after your event,
Yeah.
because you literally, that's all you can do. Because you've just given everything for 3 days, let's say, right? It's
Yeah,
exhausting.
and it can be a nightmare. Like, I've worked with clients. Well, this is before I worked with them, but I worked with clients who had the experience where, come the end of the event, they probably put in six-figure investment or more, sometimes multiple six figures to hosting an event, and their preliminary sales didn't cover that. Yeah, they have some leads in the pipeline, some IOUs, some promises, some preliminary sales, but the reality is, come Monday morning, they're like, I don't have the cash in the bank to pay the rest of the hotel bill, right? And now it's like fire alarm. Even though you're gassed, you're on the phones making calls Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday until you make the sales, right? And you're tired, you're gassed.
So really it's about having people that actually support you,
Yeah.
right? And what it like, so for my founders and my visionaries that are out here going, yeah, I want to do an event, I want to do a virtual event, I want to do a 3-day event, I want to scale and leverage. I don't necessarily have the team. It's like the team I have is, my client care, customer support, my event, or my admin, my executive assistant. I'm going to bring in an event team support. You can actually bring in sales support. Right.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, and many people don't realize that that's an option.
And like, what should people be asking or looking for, or, what kind of questions are important to be acknowledging?
Great question. So, before I answer that question, I just gave the nightmare scenario. I
Oh,
want to
give
give
the alternate.
the alternative. So it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah.
Let me give a dream scenario, and then I'm going to answer your question. So here's what's possible. With the right support, with the right team, whether that's us or I'll even give you the questions to ask so you can find the people that can support you. Imagine this. Instead of that nightmare scenario, imagine that when you send people to the back of the room, they're met by professionals who actually schedule time to meet with them individually and actually understand their individual situation, actually handle their individual objections, concern, actually lead them to a committed action in the form of an application, a deposit, a contract being signed, by the
Yeah, you
way.
want
You really want
that
that
one.
one. That's a costly mistake that unfortunately happens. And I make sure that that doesn't happen. And you want to make sure it's a proper contract.
That too.
Yeah. And also expectations managed properly because you don't want people joining your program misinterpreting what you're saying. Now, I'm going to assume that if you're listening to this call and you're a listener to Shay, that you're an honest, trustworthy person, and you mean what you say, and you fulfill on your promises. And it doesn't mean people are not going to misunderstand what you're promising, right? So having a proper one-on-one, especially if it's a high-ticket commitment, so that the expectations are clear, and then that person knows what the next best step for them is, that kickoff call, that welcome call, there's a personal connection. And so instead of that line, you actually have these individual conversations, you actually move people to action, and come Monday morning, you look at your bank account. And you actually see cash in the bank from the sales. And even better, you have a sales partner who's handing you a briefcase or file full of contracts and a spreadsheet of data and able to report to you, hey, here are where all your attendees are. This is where they're at in the enrollment process. These are their objections. These are their concerns. These are, the ones that are scheduled for the kickoff call. Don't worry, we have follow-up scheduled with these people, and we will report to you every day this week. So you can now take some time off, enjoy, and get your energy up for that kickoff call, which is probably going to be in a day or two or later this week, right? In fact, one of my favorite scenarios is literally one of my clients last year. that Monday after the event, they jumped on a plane to Hawaii.
Oh, that's
Yeah, and
nice.
they took some time off, and I was like, good, I'm glad. And I wanted to set that guy up for success so that he could do that and know that
And
things would be
just know that it's being handled.
as
Isn't that
opposed to
really
the
wild?
I gotta make calls every day for the event to pay the hotel bill,
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so now what are the questions?
Yeah, so solution, right? So when you are looking for a sales partner, by the way, I actually created a nice piece of content that specifically talks to this. So maybe
Oh,
I'll include that link to
yeah.
that
Okay,
content.
we'll definitely put that in the show notes.
Yeah, so you can expand on this specifically. The big picture, another shocking statistic, Dr. Bradley Smart, hiring expert from Top Grading, says that the cost of a missed hire can be anywhere between 7 to 24 times what you would pay that person. And a sales role,
Ooh.
especially in a high stakes environment like an event,
Yeah.
can be on the higher end of that because you don't get a whole lot of redos. In fact, you don't get a redo. And so it is probably, and maybe this is why people don't shy away from it, because it can be a very challenging thing to source, interview, hire, and also train a team. And you know what? You may not afford it. It may not make sense for your business to have a team year round all the
Right.
time. You just need it for that event, the 30 days prior,
That
30 days after
launch.
that launch, that promotion. But regardless, you still, whether it's a hire internal or a third party vendor, you still want to follow some proven hiring processes, because choosing the wrong team, by the way, I don't necessarily believe in good or bad. It just could be a bad fit, right? My team may not be fit for everyone,
Yeah, that
and
has to,
vice
it's really
versa.
true. It has to be like a cultural fit,
Yeah.
right? So the like when I'm talking to my client, I will choose different AV teams
Yeah.
based on a cultural fit because it all comes into play of how we're creating the space and container in the room because we want the focus to be on you, the visionary, the event host, and not what's happening behind the scenes. And we want them to understand what's happening in the room and how to best support it. And it's deeper than people realize, right? There is an energetic piece that really comes into play
Yes.
to that will then support sales.
100%. Yeah. So, you know, first of all, and this is basic hiring practice 101, you have to know your own core values as a business. And you got to know your outcomes for your event. And obviously, working with Shay, she's going to make sure you're clear on your outcomes before you're out looking for a sales partner, hopefully. And when you're able to, what I call, create a, you know, have a scorecard per se, even if it's the scorecard for the event, for the sales partner, and the scorecard says, okay, here are the outcomes that I would like to accomplish with the sales partner. Specific, measurable, you know, outcomes. What does success look like? And by the way, it's something that can be co-created. It's not like it has to be the end all be all, but you want to come to the table with some idea. Obviously, Shay can consult you and guide you in thinking through that if you've never done that before. Because then you take that scorecard and then you go to your network and you say, okay, I'm looking for a sales partner who can maybe you have a big event. By the way, if you're over 100 people, I definitely recommend having a team. If you're under 100, then maybe you can maybe do it yourself. I wouldn't necessarily still recommend that, but if you're over 100, definitely have a team, because you got to focus on what you do best, which is leading the event. And then you have the scorecard, you go out to your network and say, looking for a sales partner, who do you know? Right. And you're going to generate some referrals, some recommendations. Great. Step one's scorecard. Step two, sourcing. So generate those referrals. Step three is the interview process. Right. So what do you ask? What do you ask when you talk to a potential sales partner? One, I would be looking first and foremost for a sales leader who can actually manage the entire enrollment process. I wouldn't necessarily just be looking for a salesperson. You want a sales leader who has already a history of working with people, who can already probably already has a network, right? Already has a process, already has a methodology, hopefully already has experience in events. It's a different
It's a
dynamic,
yes.
much
That's
more
true.
logistically complex.
Just a bit.
Yeah. And so you know, ask, okay, first and foremost, you know, tell me about your experience as a sales leader working in events enrollment environments, right? You may or may not ask for a specific client referrals or that sort of thing, but get a sense for their experience as a sales leader and ask them specifically about their experience leading teams, right? Because you're going to get a better sense for their network and who they bring to the table, and maybe some of the results that they've generated. By the way, I'm a big fan of this. It comes from the top grading methodology. It's called they call it the thread of the reference check. I like to reference this as the promise of the reference check or the pork. The
The pork,
pork.
the promise of the reference check,
Yeah.
the pork. That's
The
hilarious.
pork. So don't forget the pork.
Pork.
So you let them know. And by the way, this is just basic hiring practice 101. And you let them know, hey, thank you for letting us know about your experience working with Shay and said other client. I'm curious, if we were to speak to them, what do you think they would say were you did really well at that event? See, it's pre-framing. It's like if we were to speak to them, when you speak to them, what do you think they would say you did really well? Great. Also, other side of the coin, what do you think they say were maybe some of the areas for improvement or maybe some of the missed opportunities? Right? You always want to get both sides of the coin. And if any vendor, whether it's a sales partner or any vendor, is not willing or able to give a balanced description of their successes as well as failures, then be cautious. In fact, here's the question to ask any vendor. Okay, great. Give me an example of success. Great. Now give me an example of failure. And more importantly, what did you learn from that? And what could have been done differently to get that to work? Right. And oftentimes what you'll discover is those missed opportunities, oftentimes were a breakdown in communication between the vendor and the client of some sort. And there's an opportunity to learn from that and to avoid that mistake. And if somebody can't cough up that hairball, I would say one, either they're lying or two, they don't have enough experience.
Because every single event you do, regardless if you do it year over year over year, you're always going to have areas for improvement. Something's going to happen because it's a live event, whether it's a virtual live event or it's a live in-person event, something is going to happen. It's an event. Right. So there's always going to be tweaks and adjustments that you're going to be doing. So that's a huge question. I love that.
So promise or the reference check or the pork and say, by the way, say, hey, part of our process is, we're interviewing a few sales partners and the reason we're doing this is because we want to make sure they have a great partnership. So we have a process, maybe a couple steps. And at the end of the process, if we think it's a fit, we may ask for some referrals, right? So you let them know that up front. And then you pre-frame, hey, if we were to speak to this person, when we speak to this person, what do you think they'll say? That's a truth serum. So now they're going to be very truthful because you may ask them for
Yeah,
that reference.
makes sense.
And it works. And by the way, top talent, A player teams, just think back to like middle school or high school, right? The kids that had straight A's and report cards on report card day, what did they do? They
What?
grabbed it. Yes, they ran home to their parents. They're like, mom and dad, look, I got straight A's. Where's my reward? Right?
It's
Seriously.
true. It's
And so
true.
that's what happens when you have a scorecard and you have like this kind of conversation. Is like no problem. I cannot wait to talk to you about our wins and misses and give you some of our references because I feel confident enough in that. And by the way, any great sales partner, great leader, great sales professional is going to have numbers to back up their talk.
Yes, ask the numbers. That's huge. And if they're not tracking the numbers, that's also a red flag.
Yeah, because then they're not going to track your
Right.
numbers.
And you need to know the numbers.
Yeah.
Yes, that's huge. That's a really good one.
Yeah.
That's a huge writer downer.
Yeah. And by the way, from experience, I also know that many event leaders oftentimes are successful, big picture people, and they have a hard time digging into the details of the numbers. And that's okay. One of the key principles of success in business is surrounding yourself with a team that supplement your weaknesses. You want to have a sales partner who is data, at least a sales leader who's data driven, that can, even if it's not your strength, can supplement it and be able to provide you not just data, but information so that you can make intelligent decisions throughout the event. Leading up to the event, each single data should be huddled with information. How many appointments did we set? How many appointments were completed? How many commitments were made? How many objections? What were the objections? What are people saying? Like this information needs to be fed to you every single day during the event so you know what's going on so you can adjust your approach as long as along the way. Right. If you have no clue, what's going to happen is it's going to maybe feel like a great event, but then you just won't know.
I mean, frankly, you have to do business by the numbers, right? And so if numbers aren't your strength, then you end up having a partner that can support you in that.
100%.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. So ask about the numbers. Ask questions. Hey, tell me about some of those numbers. Generally speaking, I think that's a fairly balanced approach. Is hey, tell me about some of the wins. Tell me about some of the losses or the misses. You know, what could you have done differently? Right. There's more questions there, but I think those are probably the big questions.
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, and I'll find that piece of content. I'll include it here. I literally go step by step through the entire like how to interview for a sales partner,
Yeah.
and that'll be a great
That's
fun resource for
a
somebody who's sort of deeper.
huge resource. Beautiful. Thank you for
You're
that.
welcome.
I want to know, like, what are the like super costly mistakes that you see event leaders making with their event sales?
Oh my gosh,
Can
yeah.
you give us like some good ones?
Yeah, there's so many. I highlighted a few here, right? We talked about the law of diminishing intent. And actually, you know, even at this event, I'm talking to people and they're already talking to me about their events. I'm like, mental note, like, yeah, making that mistake. For example, they're like, oh, we're gonna do this great event. And then the 3 days after the event, they'll talk to our team. I'm like, do you not
What?
understand that every hour that goes by
Yeah,
that they
it's a
leave
missed
your
opportunity.
event, the probability of their intent is going down exponentially. And 72 hours later, the likelihood is 6,000 times lower. So it's, and they probably are doing it, one, because they don't know, they don't have data to go on. The other, two, they probably just don't know how to handle the logistics of that. How do you talk to 100, 200, 300 people one-on-one throughout 3 days effectively? You have to have a partner that specializes in those kind of logistics. Yeah.
True.
Yeah. So yeah, having your people leave the event without having a proper enrollment conversation individually is mistake number one. Due to the law of diminishing intent. Number two, very common. Again, it comes back to hiring. Oftentimes you have great customers or maybe friends and family, and you feel like you can save a buck by having them volunteer and help you in the back of the room. Maybe
Yes.
you've done a personal development course like I have, and you're like, oh, they have volunteers in the back of them. Great. Volunteers, what positive intent, but the road to destruction is paved with positive intent.
Do you have a story? I have a
I
story
have
of a
shared.
volunteer.
I would love to hear your story.
Okay, so one of, and it wasn't even a client. I was going to look at it and see if I could consult and support her in how she could grow her company and grow her events and so on and so forth. And so she had her husband as the photographer. And she does some pretty deep work with women and, getting into some emotional stuff. And it apparently made him pretty uncomfortable because when she got the photos back, it wasn't really of the event. It was pictures of the birds that were outside. It was the ocean that was nearby. So he just like ended up leaving and not capturing the event whatsoever. Versus having like a proper photographer that was there to go and capture the moments and capture the intensity and capture like the hugs and the tears and like all of that.
Yeah, and she had the most positive intent. She probably took some
She was
photos of some
like,
beautiful birds.
exactly.
Here's the reality of business. I think most business problems can be either this can be solved by looking at the incentives, right? And regardless of somebody's positive intent, if they're not incentivized to get an outcome, the likelihood that they're going to get that outcome is fairly limited. Whereas if you properly incentivize a sales partner, primarily based on results, it's a win-win. And they're gonna go above and beyond. By the way, oftentimes sales partners are working from 6 in the morning to midnight each day to prepare for the day, to do the calls, to do the follow-ups, do the admin, to process the payments. A volunteer is not gonna do that.
It's true. I've had a past client have a volunteer sales team, and they don't, right? Like they just don't have any skin in the game, and they weren't working on commission or they weren't getting any piece of the pie. They were just there to learn, how to do it and what it would be like to have their own event and be on the sales team and so on and so forth. And, they did one training ahead of time on how to handle the objections and what would come up, but that was like what, an hour's worth of training? And then you're like, here, have my baby, take care of my baby, and support me. You're breathing.
I've just seen that so many times. It's like
Yeah.
I wish People, and you know what? It's okay.
If that's where you are and that's where you start, it's better than not having anything.
100%. And 100%.
Yes.
And by the way, that's where many of my clients were or have been before I work with them. And then we come in and we bring in a process, we bring in a team, we optimize, we maximize, and oftentimes we double, triple, double or even triple what they've done as a baseline because people just don't know what they don't know. So yeah, that's the error of like you get what you pay for, right? And it's kind of hard. It's like, well, it's free to have a volunteer, but I'm paying to have a professional. Like, it's short-sighted. You know, when you have a good partner, you're excited to pay the bill.
Right, because they've paid for themselves, right? Like if you look at it from the perspective of, maybe it's one extra sale or two sales will pay for that support person,
That's right.
that support team, that sales team, that event production. Is that worth it? Do you feel that they bring enough value to help you make that extra sale or those extra two or three sales? Right? This has been amazing. We could probably continue to chat
Oh
forever.
my gosh, yes.
And have some really good stories along the way. And maybe we'll do this again. But how can people stay connected with you? Do you have a gift for our audience? And we will definitely include the resource that you suggested earlier too.
Yeah, happy to share. So, if you're listening to this and you are an event leader and you have an event, you do an event that's over 100 people, and you have a, by the way, your offering has to be an offering that you're not just making up. It has to be proven. You have to have testimonials. You have to have case studies. You have to have a track record of success. And you're looking for a world-class partner. Come over to our website. Come over to our website. It's here in the show notes. It's wingmancoaching.com. We also have a virtual brand called the Virtual Event Sales Team because we do virtual events as well as live in-person events. And just discover more about what we do. You can book a consultation with us there. And also, if you just want another resource, like for podcasts, where I interview world-class event leaders as well and capture best practices of how they have profitable, impactful events. Subscribe to our podcast as well, which will be here in the
Yeah, it's
show
in the show
notes.
notes. Absolutely. He interviews some really, really amazingly fun people. So I have one more question for you. What would you say is a takeaway or a memorable note you would like to leave our audience with today?
Take away your memorable notes and what to leave the audience with today. The speed of the leader. The speed of the pack is determined by the speed of the leader. I think the Eastern way of saying it is the fish rots from the head first. And what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is if you're struggling to find the right people for your business, whether that's a sales partner, whether it's an event manager or leader, if you're just having like a series of hard hires, I would go take a look in the mirror first. I know this is not the popular thing to say, but I just noticed in my own life that whenever I'm struggling and I see a pattern, I look to see where am I, have I not learned my lesson, right? What leadership upgrade do I need to take, right? Where am I not eating my own food, right? And when you work on yourself as a leader, indirectly your business will succeed. If you're a higher level leader, you will attract higher level partners. You will be able to work with higher level sales partners, event leaders, et cetera. So for me, that's my guiding principle is how do I improve my own ability as a leader and starting with my own, looking at my own stuff, working on my own stuff first.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Thank you for being with me. I'm so glad that we got to like do this in person.
Yeah, they
Like,
didn't know this was going to be a personal development
right? Oh my goodness.
podcast,
But so fun. So many diamonds. So thank you for being with us. And I want to thank you all for joining us on another episode of Creating Powerful Impact. I'm really excited for you to take all these lessons, all of these resources that you've learned here today, implement them. That's the key piece. So that you can create even more impact in your world. Until next time, have an outstanding rest of your
Thank you, Shay.
day.
Real hugs.
Real hugs. This is what it's like to have like in-person stuff,
Bye.
right? All right, we'll catch you all later. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to the Creating Powerful Impact podcast. If you are a successful coach, speaker, author, or thought leader, who would like to be on this program, simply visit creatingpowerfulimpact.com/guest. If you are someone who got something out of this interview, would you please do me a favor and share this episode on social media? Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on your socials. Also, if you know somebody that would be a great guest, tag them on social media to let them know about the show and include the hashtag #CreatingPowerfulImpact. I love seeing all of your posts and great guest selections. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and they really mean a lot to me and my team. Want to know more about us? Head on over to our website, graceandeaseproductions.com, or follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, or Instagram. Just look for Grace and Ease Productions on your favorite platform. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.